Dr. Wesson.
Comments that came in after we mailed everything out, one from CBF, Days Conservancy, and NOAA in support of the regulatory change we'll be talking about, and one from the Virginia Shellfish Growers Association that's in opposition. This issue came up when the Lafayette River work group, Oyster Work Group, got together with staff and asked that for the river that they're working in, the Lafayette, and this is a picture of it as it lays out right now, and to get your bearings, this is Craney Island, this is the Port Authority, and then you go up to Elizabeth, and this branch that goes over here is the Lafayette. This hatching is the way condemnations are done when they're restricted, and that means that you can relay from them. But the majority of the Elizabeth system is considered prohibited, where up till now, for years and years and years, you've not been able to take oysters out in any way. And there's been quite a bit of work in the Lafayette by this work group and by the commission also in projects that we've done. And the little yellow things that you see going at the Lafayette here are products that have been done or are in the progress. The green are where they found some old bars that still have oysters on them. And the question was, since it looks like the water quality is improving in this river and there's some chance that the Virginia Department of Health's Division of Shellfish Sanitation could be changing the designation for the condemnation from prohibited to restricted, that could there be some protection for all the work they've done so there wouldn't be any leasing in this area. And staff is supportive of that, and the line we came up with is that red line that you can see on this map. But as we talked about this, it also seemed like it was a time to talk about the bigger consideration of condemned areas in general for leasing. We've seen since late 2013, we've seen a land rush of people taking up leases, and you saw examples of them today, and you know, coming in so fast that you don't necessarily make them all in the right decision, and it doesn't seem like they're places that they should be. And in many of them, it's been just taking up things with no thought of any kind of propagation as you're supposed to be doing the lease. The thought has just been taking what's there and leaving and not doing what you normally do for a lease. And we were seeing that about 20% of the leases that have come in have been in condemned areas. So just looking at it, we've had all sorts of leases like this that have popped up in condemned areas, and it's the applications are in now, and you know we're going to have to follow the normal procedure in evaluating these over time, but at least we would like to consider that, commission consider that for all areas that have not been applied for to date, that are still out there vacant and unassigned, that we actually set these areas aside as sanctuaries for the future. What we have seen in the past 4 years is that three out of the 4 years we've had a very poor spat set. And we know that in a lot of this land rush, we have seen a pretty sustained increase in oysters over the past 10 years, and a lot of areas, both clean and condemned, have had oysters come back on areas that at the bottom is probably no good for doing any kind of propagation. It's mostly soft, but you still get pockets of oysters that get in there on some structure. It could be a crab pot, it could be a piece of wood or something, and they develop reef structure, and we think that they're probably very important to us as broodstock sanctuaries for providing spawn to the areas that we harvest. Since we are harvesting, we obviously cannot protect all those areas. And in the in the areas that are pretty much open and clean, you know, pretty much the barn, the cows left the barn at this point. So many of them have been taken up, and these areas are being harvested away, but we still have some areas in these condemned areas that they have not gotten to and that we would like to protect for the long term. The shellfish sanitation classifies all the areas in the bay. They classify 1.7 million acres. We have about 13,000 acres that are prohibited. That's the areas that you can't do anything in, which is only about 8% of the total that we have. Of all the ground that they look at, we have 81,000 acres that are restricted. And in those 81,000 restricted areas, we have about 10,000 acres of them, we're guessing, that are currently leased, that there are leases in them. And if they want to do anything on those leases, they have to go through the relay process where you contact us and shellfish sanitation, and there's a specific process under law enforcement supervision to remove the orchards and move them out to a clean area and purge them, and then you can harvest them for a direct market. And then we have these 68 recent applications that have added to this number, with about 2,800 acres that have been applied for, that will be going through the process of review now as we try to decide whether they're reasonable leases. But it doesn't seem to be any business plan that you could come up with where you would take a lease in a condemned area, and as hard as it is to get shells or seed right now, or as expensive as cages are, that you would go into those areas and know that you're going to have to relay, which increases your costs and makes it so you can't compete with people that are working out on for direct marketing. It just seems like it's an opportunity that, since we know that we're going to be asking the industry to give up a lot in the next couple of years in some reduction in effort, that we can do these sorts of things that really doesn't hurt the industry very much to set some broodstock sanctuaries away. The other part of this is that a lot of these areas up in restricted areas are up in these little creeks where the banks are close. It's often populated areas. So when we start marking these leases with the polls, and people find out what's going on, it gets the neighborhood worked up about these leases, and we've seen that there's been some concern enough to even go to legislators to start asking about things we do and whether we should be marking. So these areas are usually always in more populated areas. They also, any of these leases, if we do any of this work, it requires time for law enforcement, and it takes law enforcement to go babysit these areas where they have to make sure that they're handled correctly, from the condemned to the clean area, that they're tied up there when they should be out watching areas that we know we have a poaching problem for in clean areas, and there's a whole lot more activity. And then finally, we're definitely in overload mode in the surveying department, surveying and engineering department, and you know, if we don't have to take leases in these areas, that'll help them out also. So what we have what we're recommending is to add definitions on what these are to Regulation 650, and that both restricted area and prohibited areas be set aside and not allowed for leasing, and be set aside as sanctuaries. And this is in our normal orchard sanctuary regulation that we have all our sanctuaries in. Any questions?
Any questions, Ms. Weston? Ms. Erskine?
Jim, I had a question about, you're suggesting that these areas shall be designated oyster sanctuaries and shall not be leased. That's permanent.
It's only as permanent as until the next commission meeting. If the area becomes clean, then they would become clean and it would be leaseful again.
Correct. Okay.
So it's not permanent. The line doesn't say where they are today. The line will move with the condemnation. But in general, there's only about a 1% change in all the areas that are classified by a Shepherd Sanitation in a year. So it's a modest change.
And as conditions change, the commission can change that regulation.
Yeah, and you know, we are hopeful that these areas do clean up over time, and we hope that we make some progress in tightening our leasing requirements in the meantime. But at least for now, it seems, with all that we're going to be asking the commercial fishing industry to do, that this is something we can do to protect some broodstock to help our spat sets start coming back.
Any other questions? Ms. Haynes.
Has ETHMET discussed this? And I was just curious if they had any comments or recommendations.
They endorsed it at the meeting.
Mr. Bailey.
Is there another method of denying leases without just declaring every condemned area a sanctuary? It seems like we're applying a blanket to these areas that might not even be oyster sanctuaries. But I agree, I don't want to see leasing in these areas. But is there some other method of doing that?
Probably you could individually do the lat long and all the way around all the ones you wanted to do, but it'd be very cumbersome in a regulation.
When these leases come before staff with for condemned areas, there's no way to say without a proper relaying plan in place we're not going to approve these leases to kind of weed out these bad apples, which seems to be one of your goals at least.
Well, the proper relaying plan, I mean, it's more important to leave the few broodstock we have there than to have a proper relaying plan, because relaying plan is definitely going to tie up law enforcement as well as we lose those broodstock. But you can only, one of the problems we're having, and we're reviewing our leasing, our whole leasing system, is, you know, if we require a plan, and the way it is now, you have 10 years to tell us where you're going to do your plan. I mean, before you can say whether your plan was implemented or not, and this broodstock's long gone before we'll ever get to that 10 years.
Any other questions of Mr. Wesson?
Hey, I guess, you know, the oyster guys down there understand this stuff a lot better than I do. The intent of this is basically to stop leasing of currently unleased condemned grounds.
Yes.
But if these grounds later on become clean, uncondemned, then this regulation does not stop leasing them at that point.
That's right.
All right. Now, and then the other question I've got is the Lafayette River area. I guess I've heard requests of making that a oyster sanctuary, even if it is uncondemned. Is that correct?
Well, it's going to stay condemned. It's just going to go from you can't touch them to you can relay them. So it'll still be condemned.
Okay. You don't ever foresee in the history, in the future of mankind, that river ever being declared. Okay.
I don't know. Who knows? But if it, I would think at that point the commission can deal with it with. But the amount of sanctuaries that they have and the investment by all the partners, they would probably want that line to stay.
Right. So I guess that is my question. This regulation is just kind of a blanket regulation. We're not talking about doing anything special for the Lafayette River.
No. If we decide not to do one, then I would want a fallback. The fallback plan would be to do the Lafayette.
All right. Now I'm referring to you guys. I just wanted some clarification.
And I think... The CBF letter actually states that they would prefer, if it was ever approved, for it to be opened up to leasing. I think that's what I read in there, that they stated that. The Chesapeake Bay Foundation stated in their letter that if it was ever opened up, they would prefer that it be, if the condition was changed to approved, that they would want it to be opened up for leasing and not make this a permanent sanctuary. It's in there somewhere, I believe.
Well, I think that's in general they were talking about leases on that one.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Lafayette. Which we support that also.
One thing I think Dr. Wesson mentioned that I think I'd like to explore a little bit further is that relaying out of condemned areas now is a labor-intensive operation that is overseen and handled by the Marine Police. Captain Berryman is with us here. He's the captain of the southern area. Would you come forward here to explain a bit about how the southern area, which handles the bulk of the relaying from condemned areas, handles this particular issue?
Yes, sir. Based off last year's numbers, In a perfect world, I'll have six officers from basically on day shift. When this season opens up and the guys go out there and start doing their operations, I'm using up half my workforce. Out of the six, I've got three tied up. That's if nothing changes. So it concerns me quite a bit as far as the manpower, or having the manpower to cover everything else while we do this.
Any questions? Thank you, Captain. It's a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter? Please. Someone come forward. Please identify yourself.
I'm Andrew Larkin. I'm here representing NOAA today. So I wanted to speak in support of the proposed regulation creating the oyster sanctuaries in the condemned Virginia tributaries, and especially in the Lafayette River. As you probably know, the Chesapeake Bay Watershed Agreement calls for restoring oyster populations in 10 tributaries in the bay by 2025. So due to its good natural spat set, the presence of several oyster restoration projects, which you've heard about, and strong interest from watershed groups, the Lafayette River is a focus tributary for oyster restoration in Virginia. So several restoration partners, many of them are here today, led by NOAA, formed the Lafayette Oyster Restoration Work Group to assess the current state of the river's oyster population and to plan for restoration. The partners have provided approximately $1.5 million in funding for oyster restoration work in the river, and it's supported more than 10 acres of new reefs there. And the Lafayette was selected in part because leasing and harvest of the areas has historically been prohibited, as you've heard. So in addition to those restoration work, recent surveys by NOAA and VIMS have found over 60 acres of thriving oyster reefs in the Lafayette, many of which have survived for decades. They all have high densities of oysters in them. And so these reefs and the intertidal oyster population form an important source of larvae or brood stock for the Lafayette and the Elizabeth River. So in the absence of sanctuary designation, like we talked about, leasing of existed and planned restoration project sites, and these relic reefs could be prohibited, and this would be a significant loss to the river in terms of their oyster population as well as fisheries and water quality benefits. So we urge the Commission to support the regulation, protect oyster brood stock in the Lafayette River and throughout the Commonwealth. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the Commission? Anybody else wish to testify? Thank you. Please come forward.
Good afternoon. I'm Susan Connor of the Army Corps of Engineers. I'm the Environmental Section Chief for the Norfolk District Army Corps, and I also serve as our Oyster Restoration Program Manager. Here to speak on behalf of the Army Corps in support of this proposal. I did want to clarify, based on the conversation that we just had, that you all had when Jim made the proposal, that we do support the entire proposal, and including some type of long-term protection specific to the Lafayette. So, understanding that that it can all be reevaluated once those areas are not condemned, but the Lafayette Tributary Planning Team was specifically looking for long-term protection for that those areas in the Lafayette based on the dollars that have already been spent invested in that area, as well as the relic reefs that have been found. I'm not going to repeat everything. Both Jim and Andrew have already said most of my points, so I'm not going to go through them again. We don't need to hear it all. So the only points I wanted to repeat was just the protection needed, not just for the broodstock that those areas provide, but for the actual habitat provided by those oyster reefs and the environmental ecosystem services that those reefs provide, we feel are worthy of that protection. So for these reasons, the Army Corps supports the proposal and asks the Commission to consider it favorably. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Any questions? Thank you, Ms. Connor.
Good afternoon, members of the Commission. My name is Chris Moore. I'm the Virginia Senior Scientist for Chesapeake Bay Foundation. A couple of you have already mentioned the letter that my colleague Tommy Leggett sent supporting the staff recommendation here. I did want to clarify, we support what the team recommended in terms of having a permanent sanctuary above the line drawn, basically east from Tanner's Point over to Larchmont, and then still having aquaculture possibly there in the future if the water quality improves enough to allow to do that. As our letter states, we support the staff recommendation for the throughout the waters of the Commonwealth. But if we fall back, the Lafayette represents, I think, the best of what happens when we see public-private partnerships in terms of restoring native habitats here in Virginia. The restoration work that's been funded by NOAA, partnered with VMRC staff here, with nonprofits like the Lizard River Project, Chesapeake Bay Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, it is really one of the great success stories we have with the oyster restoration here in the Commonwealth. And we want to make sure that investment that all those different state agencies, nonprofits have made is protected in the future and continues to show benefits for us in the Commonwealth in the future. So thank you for allowing me a few moments.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Moore?
Thank you.
Now for a different opinion. My name is Mike Osterling. I'm with the Shellfish Growers of Virginia. And we are opposed to the universal sanctuary idea. We believe that if there is an issue, that it should be taken up on a tributary-by-tributary basis. We don't think there's a need for all these areas to be called sanctuaries. They are de facto sanctuaries already, in that you cannot harvest from them legally. This is not a classification issue, this is not a leasing issue, but it's an enforcement issue. We all understand the problems VMRC has with enforcement, but it's not a classification or leasing issue. We do believe, however, that the Commission already has the authority and the ability to protect these areas by denying lease applications, even when there are not formal protests. If it's determined by the staff and the commissioner that the application is not in the best interest of the citizens of Virginia, we believe that the Code of Virginia gives the commissioner and the commission authority to deny that lease. We also support the use of culture plans for the appropriate use of grounds within these areas. One reason why the shellfish industry of Virginia, the aquaculture industry of Virginia, has been so successful is the leasing program, and in particular, the flexibility that the leasing program gives the commission in making their determinations. We heard all that this afternoon when you were debating the situation in Broad Bay, the fact that you guys can indeed flex the leasing laws to make it work. And that's what we would suggest. Use the existing authority that the commission has and determine these issues on a case-by-case basis. One final word, comment, and that is kind of on semantics. The word sanctuary scares a lot of people in the industry because a lot of times once an area is put into a sanctuary, it does not revert back to being an open area. So just please consider that when you're talking about these situations. And we would suggest that rather than a universal state policy, make it a tributary by tributary basis. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Osterling.
Commissioner, Commission, my name is Doug McMahon. I'm the owner of Chesapeake Bay Oyster Company. I'm a member of SGB, Shellfish Growers Association, and the Seafood Council. I'm actually on the board with the shellfish growers. Normally, I would let Mike just come and speak, and I wouldn't say anything. However, about 15 years ago, I got my first lease, and I think there were two of us who got a lease that year. I looked at your website. You have 338 pending currently. There is a big push in this industry. I've been blessed, actually, to be a part of this. We are the envy of every other state. This process that we're going through today, our leasing system that we're going through actually, is the envy. People look at us, how do we do this? So they are trying to figure it out. We are concerned about broad strokes of the pen that take areas out, or change their designation, I guess I should say. The Lafayette's a great project. I'd like to see it protected. However, you do have other sections of code. If you go to that 265030, there are two sections that talk about operating in or around sanctuaries, that talk about not removing any type of shellfish, not having gear on a boat anywhere near a sanctuary. Designate all these places where we actually have, most of us have our operations in condemned water, where we land and come and go from, where our upwellers operate from. I have been in the situation in this room where I have had attorneys who are trying to work for another group and put my company out of business, where they look for every chink in the armor possible. This will be a chink in the armor. When you start dealing with people who are anti-aquaculture or anti the industry and they see something happening, they'll be able to point to, well, they're working in an oyster sanctuary. One of our concerns as industry members who are watching legislation go forward is unintended consequences. And we would ask that you go a little bit slower. We do not want people leasing up and condemned water either. We're not trying to take these leases up for ourselves. We think they're bad actors. We'd like for you to handle them. We would like to see the leasing folk get a little bit tighter and not be so worried about everyone gets a lease. There are bad actors that are trying to do this. There are individuals that are trying to hold lease back from the industry or from production. But again, coming back, this has worked for years. It is one of our pillars that we stand on as an industry. It's the thing that has allowed us to grow and to have Virginians be able to support families on a very, very sustainable industry. And I'd just like for you to consider that as you go forward, I really feel like the industry has not been heard on this issue. I leave that with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. McMinn?
Thank you.
Mr. Skiles.
Thank you, Skiles, of the Department of Health, and I'm here to support the proposal. Obviously, the Health Department and VMRC jointly oversee the relay program, and it's a process that needs to be done specifically to work, and it requires a lot of oversight, and the bulk of the work does fall on VMRC's law enforcement, and we had many conversations over time about our concerns just to make sure that there is adequate oversight to make sure that the process is seen through properly so that we don't cause other problems. So with a lot of the changes in industry and a lot of the increase in leasing in some of these areas, we are concerned, and we want to make sure that as we go forward, we have the proper oversight to make sure the program works.
Mr. Scales, let me ask a question here, and I honestly don't know the answer. When staff mentions that 20% of the lease applications, the huge volume of lease applications we received last calendar year, that 20% of them are condemned grounds, does that concern you and the Department of Health?
Well, it does. I mean, the more that we have people working in condemned areas, the more opportunity there might be for someone to subvert the system. And so the more emphasis it's going to have to put on law enforcement and more time it's going to take away from their other efforts to be there. So, we are concerned with it. And like I say, it is a process that does work, but it requires some pretty specific requirements to be followed. And the more that we have, watermen working in closed areas, the more likelihood there's a chance that something could be done to subvert the system and cause a problem for public health.
Okay. Mr. Bell.
How would this impact, do you think, if anyone ever wanted to build a depuration plant in Virginia, which is common in other states in a large industry, and they wouldn't be able to lease in these areas, that you could theoretically take the product from and depurate, which is done frequently in other states?
We don't have any depuration plants right now, but in the same sense as relay, depuration is even a more tightly controlled process in an environmentally controlled tank, so the times for depuration are much shorter. So it would affect depuration the same way that it would affect relay. I mean, it's harvesting from a condemned area, putting them through a process where they allow the shellfish to purge. So it requires a lot of oversight, but I think it would affect depuration as the same way that it would affect relay.
Ms. Hurston.
Keith, I'm wondering, you all at Shellfish Sanitation take a tremendous number of water samples every year, and you're designating these areas as various classifications. Do you think that there are areas that would be more appropriately, I don't know how best to really put it, but historically condemned. There was an issue before us earlier about harvesting out of a condemned area, and I think the commissioner asked you how long had it been condemned, and you said 20-some years or something. Clearly, there's a basis for that's a condemned area. But are there areas in other tributaries that, you know, may waffle back and forth between being condemned or restricted or prohibited, and we're jeopardizing potentially the industry from exclusion in some of those areas that would be open?
Well, yeah, there are, you know, as Dr. Wesson mentioned, the vast majority of the acreage doesn't really change. There's a percentage that does, as we reevaluate each year, the water quality may change. They're kind of borderline, so it may move up and downstream slightly, but the bulk of the acreage is currently restricted or prohibited, well, you know, it doesn't change. It's been that way, and it's likely to stay that way for a while.
Mr. Tessens.
I just got a question, a basic question. What's the main culprit of creating a condemned area? I'll imagine sewage discharge would be one. What else?
Well, that's, you know, the vast majority of the acreage that's condemned is because of our water quality monitoring, which is based on fecal coliform bacteria, which are an indicator of sewage. It's an indicator of fecal contamination, but not necessarily human. So there are areas that are impacted by runoff, and it may be animal sources, birds, or other things. If you have fecal coliforms, the indication is there's a sewage component, and though the risk isn't the same if the sources are animal, so there still are a number of pathogens that can be transferred from animals to humans. So there is still a risk with sewage, whether it comes from animals or humans. So.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Stiles. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on this matter? Well, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and a decision.
I have another question for these guys might be able to answer it, or someone else. The industry's concern seems to be a lot to do with that word sanctuary, and the perception that sanctuaries are sanctuaries forever. And I'm sure I'm missing something, but would we accomplish what staff is trying to accomplish if we just allowed them to, without bringing it up to us, deny leases and new leases in condemned areas without declaring them sanctuaries? Just give them the statute, you know, without having to come to the commission, just give them the authority to deny leases, new leases in condemned areas. And I don't know what the difference between that and sanctuary would be.
Mr. Erskine.
Yeah, so I think you heard in some of the comments from the industry that there is concern over that term, sanctuary, because it, by definition, it implies it's permanent, that it's not going to be leased. And I think to eliminate that term, I don't know the difficulty in the code sections, but to not allow leasing and taking out the term sanctuary would be a step in the right direction, yeah.
That's easy to adjust. We just scratch out "be designated as oyster sanctuaries" and "shall." And it says "shall not be leased."
I think I just wanted to make another comment. I don't disagree with the proposal and this concept on a more broad kind of basis, but I do think we need to take just a minute and think about this because. You're talking about the Lafayette, which is a unique situation. There's been a lot of restoration efforts and good success. But as more tributaries are being restored, this is going to become a problem. The goal of restoration is water quality improvements. I mean, that's what we're talking about. So logically, it's going to be in the open status. It's going to become approved areas. So I think we need to be careful about just saying, okay, these are condemned areas that are going to be closed. But a lot of the success we have, hopefully, is going to lead to open areas. That's the goal. I mean, that's what we should be seeing, and that's the success story. And the industry coming in and doing that and harvesting and leasing areas responsibly is a benefit of that. So, I guess with success comes other problems. But I understand the issues that, and we've seen it before, harvesting in condemned areas. And from a health perspective, what that means, it's very serious, and it's something we should consider in a law enforcement issue as well. So I agree that, you know, this is a good idea moving forward. I think we just need to be aware that a lot of effort into these areas means that we should have more leasable area for the industry to become, you know, productive and expand.
I can say from my perspective, Mr. Erskine, is that I think that this is necessary for now for the confluence of forces that we are seeing. We are seeing more leases than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more of them in condemned areas than we've seen in a long time. The Marine Police already have structural issues being able to handle all their law enforcement duties and the relaying, and to see that potentially grow next year as the current 20% of the pending leases are in condemned areas logically means that we will have more relaying. I'm basically advocating here putting that all on pause and setting these aside, and that as things get better from the way the bottoms are managed, then it's relaying is conducted, we'll be able to, you know, loosen this up. And I think that as the waters become clearer, it's going to fall on us to do that. I'm just thinking if we keep leasing at the rate we're leasing now in condemned areas, we're making a bad problem worse. That's my personal perspective. Mr. Ballard.
I think there are two goals Dr. Wesson had here. One was to stop the effort of regulating these condemned areas and the law enforcement problem that it poses. And I don't think anyone's objecting to that. We have an issue with the word sanctuary, but as far as the health issues and harvesting out of the condemned areas, I think everyone's on the same page with that. It's the idea that sanctuary is, Mr. Neal pointed out, that gives us all pause. And I also appreciate everyone that's putting the money into these areas, and they don't want to see it come be leased up and all those oysters that they've spent millions of dollars establishing. But is there some other mechanism that we can carve out those areas almost through a lease, as much as I hate to say it, but maybe one could be granted to these nonprofit organizations that protects their investment, and if all of a sudden it is opened up to leasing, someone can't come lease those areas before they can and take all the millions of dollars they've put into the area. I think that's what we're trying to accomplish, and we can get there without just establishing all these areas as a sanctuary.
Well, my thinking is that the Lafayette River here poses its own issues and own long-term issues, but there's other water bodies here that are much more substantially and a more immediate threat from my perspective. And I think that there is a way to address the Lafayette River legacy reefs and the reefs that have been constructed by the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, the Corps of Engineers, et cetera. And there's ways to do that. And we don't have to do that right now, but this does do that while we find a more permanent way of designating them off limits. This, what we're proposing, basically says that if the Shellfish Sanitation Division changes the condemnation classification, that this area shouldn't be immediately eligible to be leased, because once it is leased, that's 10 years, and that's a 10-year problem potentially.
So that it's not eligible to be leased, not that it's placed into a sanctuary.
Correct. Right. Correct. And if the term sanctuary gives you pause, I wouldn't mind taking it out. If you want to call them reserves, if you want to call them anything else, I mean, I don't have a semantic problem with any of that.
You just say you're not leasing new condemned areas. That I maybe miss them. That does what they're trying to do without raising the hackles of the industry. As soon as you say reserves or sanctuaries and stuff like that, that implies permanency. That what I'm getting from the letters and stuff is a concern.
Well, I'm all in favor of taking out the designated oyster sanctuaries and just shorten it to say shall not be leased. And that's something that the commission can adjust down the road here. And if you want to add tributaries to that, that's a way to do it too. Or you want to lift the whole thing, that's a way to do it too. But my hope is that we, along the way here, get a requirement in code here to require use plans for the as a condition to leasing water bottom. I would like to see the relaying system overhauled to a degree so that it's much more efficient, and so that, as we hear, half of Captain Berryman's force isn't tied up babysitting shellfish from condemned waters when they should be out enforcing the laws of the Commonwealth. Now, that's where I'm coming from. Ms. Erskine.
It's going to be my last comment. But I do believe there was a good point that was brought up by Mr. Osterling that said the commissioner does have the ability to, or it's my understanding the commissioner has the ability to deny any lease ground application for a variety of reasons, one being in a condemned area. Or requesting maybe the commissioner could say bring it before this commission.
Well, I would say that that's six and one half dozen of another from a practical sense. And using the authority granted to me in the code here to deny a lease application because it's a condemned water, every single one who's denied has the right to petition the commission for a hearing. Mm-hmm. And I think that we spent an hour on Mr. Gregory's little problem over 0.75 acres. I'm not sure the commission wants to be at a point where every condemned area application I deny comes before you all for a hearing.
I think it's like you said, just simply eliminate shall be designated as an orchard sanctuary, and then there's the code verbiage right there. Doesn't that give us the ability to deny leases in condemned areas?
It does, in my opinion.
I don't know if it would be the same Section 8 under the forced sanctuary area. It might be under a different chapter.
You know, I'm kind of thinking that I don't think that really much matters.
Can we get staff recommendation?
Well, I mean, you know, as much as industry doesn't like to think about it, we do have a lot of bay-wide, bay program, orchard management commitments where we're supposed to be doing sanctuaries. So this helps us with that, you know, with a very small loss. And, I mean, you know, we have a federal initiative of 10 tributaries by 2025 to be restored as orchard sanctuaries. So,
good point. Mr. Hall wants to make a point, and I'm sure it's going to be right on point.
Maybe. I would just say that really whether you call this a sanctuary or a reserve or anything else really has no legal significance. It's the restriction is what the restriction is, and it'll be in the regulation, which is that area shall not be leased. And, you know, if it's just the term that's making industry uncomfortable, I really don't understand why that would be. But again, it has no separate legal significance. So.
Okay. Ms. Ballard.
I think it makes us uncomfortable, as Mr. McMinn pointed out, because there are other regulations that go along with being a sanctuary. For instance, if you have to travel over a sanctuary to return to your dock, which would apply to a large portion of the industry, you're no longer allowed to have harvesting gear on your vessel at that time, which I don't think that's anything anyone's trying to do today. But at the same time, it would become law, and who knows what happens. I think we're asking for a more thought-out approach than simply just calling all these areas sanctuaries.
Okay. Can we make the word sanctuary go away? I think it's a rhetorical question. I think we have that authority.
You need a different code section, right? As Mr. Sessions pointed out.
Under a different regulation?
Yeah.
says the following oyster sanctuaries are established, and it would be number 8.
Is there an advertising requirement here that it be in that particular regulation? Advertise this as this particular regulation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me see. If I'm about changing it. No.
Well, if it's a condemned area and it's not leased, it's a de facto sanctuary.
Yeah, but I think industry's concern is that being flat out labeled as a sanctuary as opposed to being a de facto sanctuary. You know, I'm not a lawyer here, but in getting rid of the term shall be designated as oyster sanctuaries and shall not be leased, I'm not really sure that matters what regulation that falls under. I mean, it falls under the same, it does the same thing no matter where it is in regulation. But I will bow to the legal expertise of Mr. Hull.
I'm still asking about the advertisement issue or something else.
We're asking if we can just take out that one little part of that sentence and just leave it where it is.
No, because if you leave it in the current regulation, let me get the terms here. So it's currently a part of 4 VAC 206520, which starts out, the following oyster sanctuaries are established, and that goes through 1 through new section 8, which would be all unassigned or vacant submerged bottom, condemned by the Virginia Department of Health, and classified either restricted or prohibited, shall not be leased. So again, the introductory sentence would again make it a oyster sanctuary, if that makes sense.
Okay. Then the question becomes, can we approve this and change it to a different, move it under a different regulation without having to re-advertise it?
So the requirements for advertising are to, it has to be a summary including a statement of purpose and substance of the proposed regulation. So we have the substance that was advertised to prohibit leasing, and we also advertise making it a sanctuary, which we're apparently not going to do. But it doesn't say that you have to, you know, name which or where it's going to go in the code or anything. So I think we can promulgate it without re-advertising at this point.
Chief O'Reilly.
So I think the fact that it's advertised for today, and you have the ability to move it elsewhere, is that? Yeah.
Yes.
So I think you can do that. And it's just a matter, I guess, of the content of the wording once you move it, whether that's really going to change anything. Mr. Hull already indicated that there's no legal merit to which word you use, sanctuary or anything else, reserve or anything else. So I think that's just the first thing that we do. So I had the same thought as Mr. Hull did.
From a regulation writing standpoint, Mr. Hull,
mm-hmm.
Is there a difference here between whether or not we keep it under current regulation 2650-20, or do we create a new regulation 20-650-25?
There is a difference. If you keep it in the current, 650-20, again, it's the very first sentence of that regulation says the following oyster sanctuary areas are established. So by keeping it as subsection 8 of that section, it would be designating it an oyster sanctuary area under the regulation.
Okay. Then the question would be, what other regulations should we put it under?
Is there a chapter regarding licensing, leasing bottom? And if so, it would be under that chapter that leasing bottom would be prohibited in
Mr. Stagg.
Condemned areas.
Does this fall under your leasing regulation?
Not exactly. I have another possible solution. They leave it right where it is, sort of. But under the purpose, number 10, the purpose of this chapter is to protect and promote oyster resources within designated sanctuary areas. Why can't we add language right there and restricted and prohibited areas? Now you define those in this proposed new language, and then just leave it as under 8 as a restricted and prohibited area and take out sanctuary.
So you're basically advocating or suggesting here renaming the title of the regulation.
The purpose. Just inserting some language into the purpose. Maybe the preamble. But the preamble.
So I go. Okay, thank you.
May I, for some of the commission members, I think all who have not been part of some of the past, the public hearing has been held.
Yes.
That means a final decision of the commission does not have to be at this meeting. In the past, there have been 2 or 4 occasions where the commission, getting bogged down a little bit, has elected to work some more, quote some other ideas, and come back for a final decision. And I don't think anyone on the commission really is aware of that, but that certainly has happened in the past. As long as the public hearing can help.
I guess the point is we've pretty much come to a conclusion. We're just trying to figure out the nitpicky little place to leave in the regulation.
I think that's
a good section.
Okay.
I read this as whether it's in the purpose, this is establishment of oyster sanctuary areas. So that's the title. You're not going to get around whether you put it in the purpose or Section 8. It's still under establishment of oyster sanctuary areas. I'm sure there are other areas in the code where we could place this. And I think it is, nonetheless, if it's semantics, so be it. But I think it's important to remove the term sanctuary.
All right, and I agree. Let's remove the words oyster sanctuary. And we'll just leave this at this. Shall not be leased.
Yeah,
I think that do we have an agreement on that?
In subsection 8, yes, we have an agreement on that, but not in the title.
It's also in the first line of the regulation that says the following areas will be sanctuary.
Correct.
And so if you take it out of line 8 that says, again, that it establishes a sanctuary, you're still establishing it as a sanctuary if you leave it in this current place.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. In which case, then, the answer is to put it in a different regulation. And I think that we have an agreement here that we want to make that wording change and we want to approve this. We just don't want it in the sanctuary regulation.
And it doesn't have to go through public notice process again. That's okay, is what I understand.
The public notice and the hearing has been settled. Mr. Hull, can we approve this as it is and leave it to staff to pick a regulation number?
Where we're going to run into a problem then is that although we've satisfied advertising requirements it won't be the commission actually approving the actual final language of the amendment of the regulation.
Can we approve the language of number 8 minus striking the language designated at Oyster Sanctuary and striking the 4 VAC 20, 650, 20 and placing that language elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you can approve that exact language and just say, put it somewhere, and that would be enough.
So moved.
Second.
It would be 12.9 in the new regulation. 4 VAC 20, 12.9.
So moved again.
Motion to second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye, and motion passes unanimously.
Just for clarity, could we hold 8 with the description of the Lafayette River above that red line? Because that should be an Oyster Sanctuary.
Well, wait a minute.
No, this applies for my motion was to apply this to everything.
That's everywhere. So I don't think we need to specify Lynn Haven River.
Lafayette
River, excuse me. This includes Lafayette River.
I know it does.
Okay.
But it further clarifies that one is a sanctuary.
No.
No.
Not leased.
No, it's just not eligible to be leased. If you want to come back and designate it as a sanctuary, we're going to have another discussion about that. And if you want to make it a permanent sanctuary, we'll have another discussion about that. But this sets this aside for the Lafayette under this.
I understand that.
Unleasable despite the change in status by a shellfish sanitation at any point until at such time as the commission decides to change that. Is there a reason Lafayette should be designated an oyster sanctuary in total right now?
I think the work group would probably want it as a part of their 10 trevor tiers by 2025.
But they have that with that language that it's not going to be leased.
Mm-hmm.
That's not satisfactory?
Well, it makes it a de facto sanctuary if it's unleasable.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm all right with it, but I'm not sure that they will pay.
Okay. We struggle mightily to get to this point. Can I recommend, or does the commission wish to take a 10-minute break here to recharge your batteries before we push on to the final?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Whatever your pleasure, Commissioner.
I'd prefer to keep going.
Okay. Then we will slog onwards.